After fighting and coaching his way through a storied 47-year professional hockey career, Mike Milbury's gloves are off again for his next chapter as a radio host, talking about the NHL and the Boston Bruins and all things hockey. You're listening to Gloves Off Hockey with Mike Milbury on 1510 WMEX. Here's your host, Mike Milbury.
All right, Ben. What did we learn last night? Bruins come out and win a game going away, although they did make it interesting for a little while. And so what do we see? Let's start with a goaltender. I thought Linus Ullmark was really good last night. You could tell somehow that he was ready. He was intensely focused. No chance on the first goal, really. Odd man rush. Riley turned over the puck. We'll get to that later. May have been handcuffed on the second goal. Darren Pang was doing the game for TNT, and he thought maybe it was tipped or maybe Sherry didn't get all of it, and it may have thrown off his timing, and that can be difficult for a goaltender. We'll give him a pass on that one. But a really solid performance. He read the plays well, seemed to see what he needed to see in order to be in the right spot. Good rebound control. It's the best game I've ever seen him play. I haven't seen him play that much, but I saw him play his best game last night. Goalies sometimes bloom a little bit later in their careers and then skaters, certainly. I don't want to get too excited over one game, but his performance was an A grade. I think that's the best he can get from a guy that comes out on the road and really plays a pretty much flawless game. And he was really good when the Caps were at 3-2 and knocking on the door. So good for Linus Ullmark. And what about the forwards? Taylor Hall scored a goal off of Pasta's nifty pass. Had to avoid a freight train hit in the neutral zone before that goal. I give him a B+. Bergeron, come on, reliable as ever. First goal of the game, always a key goal. Won his draws. You got to give him an A. Jake DeBrusk, incomplete, I guess is the word, because he got hurt. Let's keep our fingers crossed that it's not too serious. Don't have any updates for you on that. So, pretty good so far. The check line, Pavel Zacha looked pretty good. Missed an excellent opportunity to score a goal, but did get a helper. I give him a B+. What about David Krejci? Well, it seems like last year in Europe didn't do him any harm. The goal that he scored, he actually outskated Carlson, the defender from Washington, to get to the loose puck and score a goal. I got to give him an A. David Pastrnak, a goal and three assists. In his contract here, you'd think he'd be feel some pressure, but obviously not. He did give away the puck on the second goal, and Riley, who was just, you know, he's up ice, and Pasta should have seen him. He got a shot blocked. They went the other way and scored the second goal of the game, but I got to give him an A, too. That was a pretty good start for a guy that is looking to make, who knows, it's got to be north of $10 million, right? 10, 11, maybe? I don't know.
Minimum.
A.J. Green, three hits, three shots on goal, block shot. He only had 9 minutes, so I'm going to give him a B. Coyle, he didn't have as much puck possession down low as he usually has, but still a pretty solid game. I'll give him a B. And Craig Smith didn't even see 10 minutes of ice time, so I'm going to give him an incomplete. Are you okay with this, Ben? How am I doing so far?
I'm right there with you. So far, okay. Your assessment was right on to what I saw last night. And I went and took the awkward approach with it. I watched the first half on TV, listened to the second half on the radio, and then I caught the third half in the highlight reel. So from what you just said, that's almost exactly what I saw and heard.
All right. The fourth line, Nick Foligno, had one shot, no hits, no blocks. This guy was on the power play at one point. I know he's supposed to be a net front presence, but I think
that back injury has done him no good.
It's really, I'll give him a C, but that might be generous. Thomas Nosek, three hits, played unafraid hockey. I give him a B. And the guy that really surprised me, Jakub Lauko, I think that's the way you pronounce his name.
I think you got it.
Skated well, drew penalties, three hits. Pretty good, at least a B, if not a B plus, for a guy that was playing his very first game in the National Hockey League and is coming off a couple seasons where, you know, it wasn't going too well for him. Didn't look like he might ever get in, but he did some solid training in the offseason, did a lot of Roman Greco wrestling, apparently, and got himself in great shape. And, you know, I thought he was visible player last night, and a guy on the fourth line needs to be visible in terms of changing momentum or creating something on the ice that that creates momentum.
Oh, yeah. You know, it didn't exactly do Big Z any harm to learn all that Greco-Roman wrestling. It certainly helped the game for him, you know?
Who would wrestle with that guy anyway?
I don't know who would in their right mind say, yeah, I can do this. No, you can't.
And what about the blue line? So Hampus Lindholm, solid effort. He showed his cockiness, I thought, with that open net goal. I mean, he just fired it about 180 feet. But when you're up by a couple, you can take a risk in that department. But I got to give him a B+. I thought he was really solid in all aspects of the game. And what about his partner, Brandon Carlo? Took a couple penalties, but 6 hits. We were talking about him. He's got to be involved more physically.
Well, he got it going.
And 3 block shots. And we just, all you got to say about Carlo in this game is we just need more of that. We need it more on a consistent basis. I give him a solid B or a B+. Good game for Carlo to start the season.
Oh, yeah.
For Mike Riley, interesting night. Tough night in some ways and sometimes a victim of circumstances. First Caps goal, he turned it over on the rush and he couldn't recover. That's on him. You know, if you're going to get up into the rush and you don't have anything to do, you don't have any plays to make, you got to dump it off and get back into position. So that's on him. The second Caps goal, he was doing exactly what Jim Montgomery wants him to do, jump up into the play. He was on the left wing in the circle, and Pastrnak had the puck middle of the ice, and he didn't get it through. The shot was blocked, and off they went the other way on an odd man rush. And that's another minus in his column. But really, I got to give him a little bit of a, not a pass, but, you know, because if you're going to rush and be up on ice, you got to be sure you get back in time, even if the shot gets blocked. I mean, and Pasta should know better. But it's a new system. You're going to have to adjust to it, make some different types of decisions on occasion, and we'll see.
Yep.
He was on the ice for a rush and a nice pass to Pastrnak, who fed Hall on a beautiful passing play that led to a goal, which is really, really nice. So what about Forbert? 5 hits. 6 block shots. Come on, man. Keep it going.
That's what we want to see.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're going to see. And I give him an A. 23 minutes last night. That's a lot of minutes for him.
Wow.
He doesn't usually play that much. Jacob Zboril, you know what? I didn't notice him that much. And that's a good thing because in the last couple of games before that, I noticed him in all the wrong ways, coughing up pucks and being on the ice for goals. So I'm going to give him a solid B. And Connor Clifton, he got hung out to dry by Riley on a couple of occasions. I can't really. He did have 4 hits. I'm going to give him a B-. All in all, I thought it was a solid effort from the Bruins. I thought the start was excellent. When you're playing your opener, you know, everybody's geared up to play. Everybody wants to get off on the right foot. It's really a downer losing that first game of the season. And so they showed that they wanted it. And they also showed the best and worst of what the defenseman will be in the system. If you rush and join the rush in a 4-man situation, you are obviously going to be an offensive option, but you become a defensive liability on many occasions if you don't read the play right or if one of your teammates doesn't make the right decision, as Pasta didn't last night. So they held off the Caps at 3-2. Caps were coming pretty hard, didn't you think?
Absolutely. They were pouring it on. I mean, Anthony Mantha had 6 shots. He tallied at least one of them, but 6 shots is a lot for just one guy. And nobody else even really came close. Marcus Johansson had 5. Kuznetsov had 5.
What did Ovechkin have?
Nobody else was over 3. Ovechkin had 3. 3 shots on net.
That deserves a tip of the cap right there. Whenever you can keep this guy off the board, you've done something right. And so on opening night, getting the win always feels good. Always feels good. I'm going to give the team an A-.
I like it. I'm right there with you on that assessment. And I tell you, Capital One Arena was a packed house last night, but it didn't take long for the Bruins to deflate that at all. So good opening game. Happy to see that. And I think the next game coming up is going to be just as good a test.
Well, this is Arizona comes up on Saturday. And it's the kind of game that you don't want any letdown. We know they've got some key guys out. Put the points in the bank. And then move on. And this is a game where you should put points in the bank. Don't fool around with it. Get right on them and stay on them for 60 minutes.
That's Absolutely correct. We are going to step aside. We're going to take our first break.
And we got a guest coming.
We sure do. Kevin DuPont of the Boston Globe is going to be joining us here live in just a few moments on Gloves Off Hockey with Mike Milbury live here on 1510 WMEX and streaming online at WMEXBoston.com. Don't forget, folks, this program being brought to you tonight by AMS Staffing Solutions. AMS Practice Staffing is the number one in the area, talent acquisition and professional services that support and impact while transforming your small or large-scale business. Check them out online at amsmanagements.com. AMS Practice Management, proudly bringing you Gloves Off Hockey.
Enthusiastic sports fan? Want to have fun and get in on the action?
Heck yes, that'd be awesome.
Have great attention to detail? Want to stay active?
Definitely.
Want to give back to the student athletes in your community?
Obviously, yes!
Then you'd make an excellent high school sports official. We need more officials in Massachusetts, because with no high school officials, there are no high school sports. Sign up today at highschoolofficials.com.
When you need to feed a lot of people in a pinch, simply call Angelina's in Braintree, the home of the jumbo. Angelina's is famous for their hand-tossed Italian-style pizzas, fresh-cut salads, and their subs are, dare we say, jumbo. Did you know that Angelina's now offers Del's Lemonade? That's right. You can refresh yourself with a tasty treat and make sure the kids are happy, too. Feed your family with Angelina's today, and you'll receive $5 back with every $25 purchase. And to top it all off, Angelina's delivers, ensuring that you can enjoy their great food without leaving the comfort of your own home. Angelina's in Braintree, located at 419 Elm Street, just 1 mile from the Union Street exit. Call 781-843-7827 to place your order. That's 781-843-7827. You can also order online at angelinasjumbo.com. Angelina's in Braintree, the home of the jumbo.
WMEX is back, and it's bigger and better than ever. Listen as good guys Larry Justice, your friend Ben, Jeff Lawrence, and Jimmy J play the greatest hits of all time. Put the power of the good guys to work for you. Advertise your business, event, or message on WMEX. Call our sales team at 508-245-7732 or drop us a message at WMEXsales@gmail.com. Radio is fun again.
1510 WMEX.
Welcome back to Gloves Off Hockey with Mike Milbury, as heard live on 1510 WMEX Quincy, Boston, and proudly being brought to you by AMS Practice Management. Here's your host, Mike Milbury.
All right, Ben, this guy needs no introduction. Kevin DuPont's been covering the Bruins for as long as I can remember. I'll ask him how long in just a minute, but a Hockey Hall of Fame sports writer, has been done a great job over the years for the Globe, and talking about a guy that has dropped the gloves on occasion and the written word, it's Kevin DuPont. Kevin, how are you?
Just great, Mike. Great to be with you. I haven't been, first time on WMEX, so thank you. And it's brought me back to my childhood when it was Arnie Woo Woo Ginsburg.
He's an institution here. In fact, his photo's right behind me. So, yeah, those were the good old days.
It's true. And Freddie Cannon drew it.
I assume you saw the hockey game last night?
Yeah, I was there. Yeah, I was impressed. I didn't think the Bruins would come out that well, and good for them. It was an entertaining night, and the check line was as advertised. I think the defense is going to need some work, but as you know, Mike, 32 teams, they all need some degree of work.
That's for sure. Let me start with the goaltender. Omar had, I thought, a tremendous game. I thought that was the best game I think I've ever seen him play.
Yeah, I thought he was very strong. I know, at least by the eyeball test, he's coming to this camp better fit physically than he was last year. It's not to say he came in like some slob last year, but I think for a lot of reasons, you know, you can go off on a tangent here, but, change of team, was very settled in Buffalo, liked it there. That said, Bruins gave him an unbelievable offer. They couldn't refuse it, took it. And I think it took him the better part of the whole season, actually, to play into the job. Well, I think he did get the message here that there's no, given that they're that compromised, top to bottom on the roster, the goaltenders really had to come in and ready to roll. I have no doubt about that with Swayman. I think Swayman's going to be a terrific goaltender. But I was very, very impressed with
that. And I think Ullmark has to realize that, you know, he clearly wants to be a number one, but there's clearly competition with Swayman. So for him to make a charge at that number one position, he better be on his A game.
Yeah, no question, which is ideal for a coach, right? You want two guys, especially at that position, two guys going at it. And if they're both going to, you know, turn in close to A-level goaltending, that speaks well for them. And I think we'll see that from Swayman. I may be getting carried away on Swayman, but I've liked everything I've seen.
How are you with a two goalie rotation? Are you like a 1A and 1B?
Well, I think in most instances you've got to have. In most instances, you're going to have a guy who's the lead dog, right? Again, given numbers, given that there's 32 teams, are there 32 elite goaltenders available? No, they're not. So I think by and large, you're going to end up with a two-man rotation. And also, Montgomery touched on this yesterday, that ideally one of them has separated himself from the other going into the playoffs, and you go with one guy. And frankly, I don't know how prudent that is. Last year, they went with Ullmark in 1 and 2. I would have yanked him after the first and come in with Swayman. I don't know if that would have changed the chemistry down there, helped them actually win a game in Carolina, but that would have been my move.
Well, let me start with the bottom of the four lines. Does Nick Foligno belong in this lineup?
Not by my eye. I think, again, good guy. And I had a general manager tell me when they signed him, you're going to like everything about Nick Foligno. This was last year now. You're going to like everything about him except when he's on the ice. And
oh, geez.
That's that really came into play.
Yeah, and you know, He had one shot on goal, no hits, no blocks. He even had power play time, which I think they got to cough that up to somebody else at this point in his career. Don't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Mike, two of those guys, Riley and Foligno, both were, as you well know, they were both put on waivers earlier in the week, no takers, no surprise there. And then they end up making up 40% of the number two unit. I didn't understand that. I guess I understand it from – They're giving him with a one coach. They're giving him one last chance to show if they can fog a mirror, and not being fair there to Riley. I think Riley does have legs. He can move. I think he's got to be smarter. A couple of times last night, he was making aggressive play. But again, can't speak out of two sides of your mouth. If you want somebody to press the play, you want to go up tempo. Those things are going to happen.
Yeah, I thought the he coughed the puck up on the first goal. That's on him.
Correct.
The second one, Pastrnak got the shot blocked at in a slot, and he was charging to the net, and that's kind of on Pastrnak. But you know, he was doing what Montgomery wants him to do, as you pointed out. So, but still, too many times I find that he's out of position defensively. Too many times I find himself overhandling the puck, and I think they have better options.
Yeah, I think it's one thing. I think it's one thing for a forward to turn into a dog's breakfast, and then you've got to figure it out. But when it's the forward, there's four other guys out there who can kind of mask it over. When it's the defenseman and the play's going the other way, and we saw it both times, it was Foligno who was left to hang out to dry. Not Foligno, I'm sorry. It was Clifton left to hang out to dry on the back end. One time he dropped. That didn't work. The other time, he just got burned. So, again, not on him, but that's what happened.
What was your take on Lindholm's game last night?
Not overwhelmed, but I like him. And again, he's you know, it's a patchwork now because they're waiting for Strahlman to clear waivers, not to clear waivers, but to clear the whole
visa process.
Visa process, all of that. So I think that'll be a better fit for him. They play a similar game. I like him a lot, and I really like him with McAvoy, and that's going to take the better part of 6 to 8 weeks here for that to happen. So They gave up a bundle for him, but he's a good player. Would you agree with my assessment?
I would. I probably put it a little higher than you. I thought he was pretty good. I thought he was good defensively. I thought he made some good decisions with the puck. He might have given it away once, but you know, I like him, and I like him to eat big minutes, but there's a lot of pressure on him. He came in awfully cocky, I thought, and then he didn't get the chance to prove that he was as good as he thought he was because he got hurt, but I mean, I don't mind a guy being cocky as long as he lives up to it, and so we'll see how that works out.
He did get hurt. He got pounded in that. It's interesting you say that because extremely uncharacteristic for a Swedish player to be cocky, at least in my in my experience. I wasn't around Boye Salming in his Toronto days. He was a great player. I get a sense that he was, but you know, he could talk it and he could walk it.
He sure could. He was a great player. Okay, you got a snapshot of the team. You're minus Marchand and McAvoy, I know. Assuming they come back, and you know, I've always said when you have major surgeries like Marchand's had or like McAvoy's had, it's not you're not step right back and be 100%. It's going to take a month or two or even more. But having said that, we see that they're coming back. What are your expectations for the team?
Well, I'm not going to certainly after one. I was impressed with the one game, but I'm not going to change my mindset based on going in. Going in, this is kind of like trying to tout where we are in the stock market at the moment, right? Earlier this, I don't know where it is settled today, but it was up 700 points for a while. It's a bear market right now. I don't think the market's going to go on a big run. Same with the Bruins. I think they're compromised for a number of reasons. The draft being one of them. Compromised in terms of talent flow and youth. Haven't done a great job, as we know, with the draft. I think some of Sweeney's trades have been good. Lindholm being, you know, Exhibit A. Some of the free agent signings have been atrocious or close to.
Well, so Backus, right, of course. David Backus,
oh,
of course.
Yeah. Valesky, right. Foligno. John Moore, five-year deal. So there's, yeah, now Nash, I will say, I think Nash was the right play. It was pricey, but if Nash comes in and doesn't get dinged, and I know that's a big if, he got dinged right up front, and then you know retires. But I endorsed it then. I endorse it now. It was, you know, almost like last night. Puck goes the wrong way. He got hit in the head again, and he's done. But that back to your original question. I see them as a wild card team at best. I think Washington and Boston, both of whom were wild cards last year, are the two that if somebody's looking to cull the herd, so if it's going to be, I don't know if it's going to be Detroit or Ottawa, certainly they're coming. I think Tommy Fitz has done a great job down here in New Jersey. I don't think it's going to happen for them this year, but I think they're getting close. So there's two or three teams here who are moving in. I think the Bruins can survive again. I should mention Columbus, too, with the Goudreau deal. I do think that it's they're vulnerable. They could get bounced, but I think they'll hang in there for a 7 or an 8.
It'll be interesting when Marchand comes back and inherits his, reinserts himself into the lineup with Bergeron and probably DeBrusk. And what does that do to Taylor Hall? Does he push Zacha down, or does Zacha stay with that? Or does Hall go with Coyle and Smith, which would make it a hell of a third line, although I do think they're going to have some cap issues, right?
Right, there's cap issues. I think you're wasting Hall on a third line, but I do know that that is certainly in the mix here based on what the numbers are. What I will say, Mike, is we go through these mental gymnastics of trying to figure out who's going to go where, and it's hockey. Usually somebody gets hurt, you don't even have to you don't have to go through it. It just sort of makes its own decision, unfortunately. What I don't like about the Marchand thing is you're right, that's big surgery, both hips. And he's not young Marchand. People think of him in a different sort of age class than Bergeron and Krejci. He's pretty close there. He's put on a lot of miles too, witness the hips. So I think it's gonna be harder on him. Even though shoulder surgery is a tough one, as you well know, That will be tough too for McAvoy, but McAvoy's got youth on his side, and he's a much bigger body than Marshall.
Yeah. One last question before we let you get back to two hands on the wheel. Ovechkin, is he going to break Gretzky's record?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I kind of wish not, but he has been. I have to say, I get caught up or I entangle the whole Russia thing and all of it, my disdain for what's going on over them and him being a Putin guy. So I do end up having a prejudice, but wiping all that away can be hard. He has, I don't know if I've ever watched a guy for as long play with that big an engine. Can you think of anybody?
No, nobody.
No,
he's say something, yeah, he's something special to watch. And you know, he refined his game when they won the cup. Barry Trotz got him in line, and, you know, give him credit for making some improvements. Well, we've got to take a break, Kevin. Thanks for being on. Really appreciate your time, and get home safely.
Anytime. Thanks, Mike. Always enjoy it.
See ya.
There he is, Kevin DuPont of the Boston Globe here on Gloves Off Hockey with Mike Milbury. We will be right back after a quick word from our sponsors. And don't forget, folks, tonight's program is being brought to you by Fuse CBD. Check them out at fuse-health.com, as well as AMS Practice Management. You can find them at amsmanagements.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Kristen, co-founder of the South Shore Pet Food Pantry. Our mission is to help families keep pets in the home during a crisis or a financial hardship by providing pet food. This summer, our goal is to create awareness around the need for programs like ours. You can help spread the word by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. To find out how to receive food or to make a donation, check out our website, SouthShorePetFoodPantry.com.
This is my mom. She's the best. We have so much fun together. Right after I was born, my mom got really, really sick. She was so sick that she needed to get a new heart just so she could live. My mom told me that she got her new heart from someone she didn't even know. That person saved my mom. That person is my hero. Be a hero. Be an organ donor. Register at registerme.org.
Sponsored by New England Donor Services.
Welcome back to Gloves Off Hockey on 1510 WMEX Quincy, Boston, and streaming online at WMEXBoston.com. Back to your host, Mike Milbury.
All right, Ben, I'm going to introduce the hardest working man in hockey, my old broadcast partner, Keith Jones, who also covers the Flyers and does a radio show, one of the most popular radio shows in Philadelphia, three mornings a week. And lives in Florida. Was in Colorado last night. Got the red eye to home in Florida, where he is now. Keith, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mike. The weather here is incredibly good. And just relaxing, sitting out on the porch, and enjoying a little bit of the evening. How are you doing?
And a cocktail, I would imagine.
Well, not yet. But very soon after this call.
All right.
Good man.
So... I mean, it was a clinic that Colorado put on last night, right?
It was. You know, it is one of the benefits of being down between the benches. You can really pick up on the difference in the speed between two teams that are going at it. Obviously, Chicago's not going to be very good this year. And the Avalanche are just at a different level than most teams in the league because they play so fast. And most of it comes from their core players like McKinnon and McCarr, but they've got a group of guys that, you know, play the game the right way. They're well coached, and they're a fun team to watch.
These are sacrilegious words around here, but I don't know. We've talked about it before. This McCarr kid is as close to number four as I've seen. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I would, and man, is that ever tough to say, eh, Mike? No one knows it. No,
don't tell anybody I said that.
I know. No one knows it as well as you do. And, you know, you saw it up close. And, yeah, we're seeing, finally, a defenseman that's not just good, he's great. And he's not just going to be in conversations about the Norris Trophy for the next decade. He's going to be in conversations for the MVP of the league. And he is an incredible talent. It's remarkable to think that he went fourth overall and not first. I mean, how this kid wasn't selected first overall is just a remarkable thing. When you watch him play, I don't know how he could hide the skills that he has, because they're right there in front of you. He's different than any other player that I've ever watched play the game, especially from the back end, with the exception of Bobby Orr.
I remember when Harry Howell won the Norris Trophy, and he said, "I'm glad I was able to win it, because nobody's going to win it but Orr for the next 8 years or so." And he was dead on. And Cale Makar is sort of in the same boat. I don't know. There's some pretty good players in this league. You know, Victor Hedman comes to mind, and you know, Fox in New York. I mean, there's some good defensemen out there, but I think he's going to own the thing for a while. So switching gears, did you get to watch any of the Bruins game while you were?
I did. Yeah, I did. I was, I was down. When I'm in between the benches, I can't move. So I end up sitting there and watching some of the other game that's on the air before. And there was times in that game, especially early on, it looked like the Capitals couldn't move. So give the Bruins credit for the way that they came out and performed. And watching Pastrnak and Krejci team up again, that was a thing of beauty. Great to see that, and great to see Krejci back in the mix for Boston. And it was good to see them, survive an opening night. It's one game, but it was a pretty good indicator that this team's not going away like many people have predicted. And if Brad Marchand's able to come back and be healthy, then we're talking about a Bruins team that will not just be in the playoffs, but will be a contender again.
Yeah, do you think they can actually contend? Do you think they can make it to a conference final or a cup final?
Yeah, I never count them out, Mike. When you have Bergeron, you have McAvoy when he gets back and he's healthy. I mean, he's an elite talent as well. I mean, without the names that you mentioned previously in Fox and Makar, McAvoy's right there. I mean, he's not to that level, but he's as close as it gets, and he plays the game with such a physical edge. He's a perfect Bruin defenseman in my eyes. So you get him back, and if he's healthy and able to play at the level that we know he's capable of playing at, then you're talking about a Bruins team that will be a legitimate contender in the Eastern Conference, because they've got Bergeron still, and now they've got a second line that looks like it's going to be able to create a lot of damage as well.
I think that's the hope here anyway. The one question I had was, they've been flirting with their goaltenders, but last night I thought their goaltender Ullmark was terrific.
I've seen him play some good games. And not a lot of them last year in the Bruins uniform, but I saw him play well for the Sabres team that was not very good at all. And I always thought that he had the potential to be one of those guys that could sneak up and, become a very capable netminder. Look how long it took Markstrom to become a star, right? He was in Florida. He was an early round pick, but he was a big kid, and it took him a while to develop. Now he's one of the elite goaltenders in the National Hockey League. I think taking a chance on Ullmark was probably a good move by Don Sweeney. And I love the Swayman kid. I love his attitude. I might be a little biased, because anytime I've had a conversation with the kid, he kind of lights up the room. I really appreciate his love for the game and his respect for the game. So I think it's a good combination in that the Bruins have, as far as having a young guy like Swayman that's continuing to develop, but does that with such a positive attitude that it's got to be contagious for the guys around the locker room, including the guy that he's, contending with for the number one job in Ullmark.
Well, they seem to have a great relationship. And when you have a guy that's a goaltender that's upbeat, and some of those guys are really different, as you know. They're really internally focused. But, a guy like Jerry Cheek.
Go ahead. We call that goofy. We call them goofy.
We do call that goofy.
I like it.
I mean, but playing in front of Jerry Cheevers, he was always yappy. He was always having fun. A lot different than playing in front of Pete Peters, who was, an entirely different breed of cat. But they seem to be solid in goal. And I want to just flip it to Washington for a quick second. Do you think they make the playoffs? I mean, without Backstrom, they're really vulnerable, are they not? And now Wilson also is out of the picture for some time.
That's one of the keys to me, is Wilson, even more than Backstrom at this point in his career. They'll make some noise. Carlson does not look as fleet as foot. To me, he doesn't.
Well,
look
when Krejci outskates you for a loose puck and scores a goal, that's an indicator.
Yeah, exactly. So if he doesn't, like, if he's never been a great defender, but if he turns into Mike Green, then the Capitals are in trouble as far as Mike Green in the latter part of his career, where, you know, the offense started to dry up a little bit, and then he was never a great defender. Carlson's being asked to do a lot with that team, so I would have my eye on that part of it. If he gets hurt, of course, then they're in gigantic trouble. But they always find a way to be in the mix because of Ovechkin. So they're not an easy team to rule out, but if I was having to decide right now at this point in the season whether I thought Washington would make the playoffs, I would say that they're going to miss this year.
Well, something to watch. And what about your hometown team, Philadelphia Flyers? Have you got a handle on them yet?
Well, they're going to work. I mean, with Tortorella coaching this group of players that have underachieved but have, you know, in recent years lost their way as far as the identity of what the Flyers used to be. And obviously the game has changed. It's not necessarily about fighting, but they started to get pushed around. They started to, you know, lose a lot of puck battles, lose games by multiple goal deficits. That didn't used to happen. You know, the Flyers have always been similar in a lot of ways to the Bruins. And I think both teams and both franchises had followed a similar path up until the last, you know, decade, where the Flyers have not been what the Bruins have been. They want to get back to being a hard-working team, a difficult team to play against. And I think Tortorella's the perfect coach for that, Mike. I think he's done well with teams that have had really low expectations. Think back to like three seasons ago when he beat out Tampa with that Blue Jackets team that on paper should have had no chance, but swept Tampa four straight before Tampa went on to win back-to-back Stanley Cup championships.
About that.
I think that's what they're looking for from him. I think they'll get that, but where the goals come from is going to be the biggest mystery from looking at this team from up above.
You know, he's a curious guy to think is still coaching in the game the way he approaches it, because it's very old school, isn't it?
Yeah, like the first day of training camp, no pucks. I mean, he just skated them into the ground. And I don't normally
really.
Watch
I thought practice. That was illegal now.
Yeah,
abusive.
I mean, this one. As soon as I was doing the radio show in Philly in the morning, and Al Morgani tells me he saw a tweet where the no pucks in practice. So I actually stopped by to watch it, and to see the tongues hanging out on these guys, it was refreshing. You remember those
Good.
Days. I remember those days, and those days had gone away, at least in the game recently. So it was kind of nice to see. Then the injuries started to pile up quickly, though, and that's the challenge of coaching in the NHL in today's environment with the players. They don't tolerate a lot of that stuff, so it's going to be interesting to see how they react to it and how Torts kind of adjusts on the fly.
Well, my old boss, Harry Sinden, used to say, you're in charge of conditioning, you can control that. You're in charge of discipline, you can control that. And the art form was motivation. And that's where I have a question with Tortorella. Can he, has he changed enough, do you think, to be able to bring a guy in and put an arm around him? And the kinder, gentler generation needs that, don't they?
They do. I think he has. I think, you know, in talking to him a few times, and I worked with him in TV back at TSN. I don't know if you crossed over with him or not, Mike, but he and I were together a few shows, and I got to know him away from the game, and he's a really good guy. So I think some of that, obviously he's a smart guy. He's been around the game a long time. I think that he'll, you know, I think he's made some of the appropriate adjustments to today's players, but going back to what Harry said, the conditioning is something that's really important for a team that's undermanned or doesn't have the firepower. It's the great equalizer, right? And it's tough to get to that point in the game today because guys train so much in the off season now. There's very slim margin for gaining an advantage as far as being a more physically fit team than the opposition. So it remains to be seen if that works, but I think there's, you know, within that, there's a message that, you know, what's been happening here in Philadelphia over the last few seasons has got to stop. And he's been the guy that's, you know, been brought in to try to make this thing end as quickly as it can and turn this team back in the direction where the fans start to return to the rink and the team starts to play the way that the fans expect them to.
You know, I got the chance to watch Tampa and the Rangers play. 2 points there quickly. I think Tampa has softened. I mean, it's one game.
Yeah.
But I think Ryan McDonagh, missing Ryan McDonagh, where they had to go to him and ask him to waive his no-trade clause, had to be tough. But that's a big hole. And they also lost Palat to New Jersey.
Yeah.
And he was a good player for them, particularly in the playoffs. And I think they're vulnerable at this point. I think it's Vasilevskiy that keeps him in, or kept him in against the Rangers for sure.
Yeah, and it's to me, it's going to run out. And I couldn't agree with you more. I had a good seat for the McDonagh show last year. And as important as Hedman is to the team, McDonagh's right there with him. When he is an outstanding player and a great defender, which is hard to find in a game that's difficult to defend in now. All the rules have been put in place to make it more difficult to slow guys down and play the game physically and, you know, be a, you know, a primary shutdown defenseman. And he's all that, and he has the leadership qualities to go with it. So he's going to be missed. It's a great ad for Nashville. It might put Nashville over the top. I'm curious to see how that plays out. And Palat just came up with big play after big play in the playoffs.
Right.
Every hard puck battle, Mike, he was there to make it. So it had to catch up with Tampa. They've done an incredible job. I was really hoping they would win again last year just because it's such an would have been such an incredible feat in today's climate and a salary cap era where it's difficult to manage to keep all your star players. It would have been incredible.
Yeah. So if they're vulnerable, who? Last question. Who comes out of the Eastern Conference?
Everybody's picking Carolina, and
I'm not.
I can see Carolina winning like during the regular season. I've never seen them be able to adjust in a playoff series and win. I mean, they play the same way, which is great, but they've got to find different ways to beat different opponents, and I've never seen them do that. So I'm not going to pick Carolina. I'd like him. I love Rod Brind'Amour. I think he's a great guy, and I was a great teammate, and I think he's a very good coach, but he hasn't shown me the ability to adjust against a guy like John Cooper, who seems to, you know, with talent, has found ways to win playoff series that might have looked like they were going the other way. So,
well, I'm
going to
pick the Rangers.
Yeah, no, the Rangers are a very good pick. For a couple, the number one reason for me, Mike, is that it wouldn't shock me to see Patrick Kane arrive there at the trade deadline. With his time with Panarin in the past, the Rangers would have to do some, obviously, you know, cap manipulation in order to get him there. But I could see Patrick Kane electing to go there, and I could see the Rangers wanting him, and I could see that, you know, putting the team over the top.
All right, my friend, get to that cocktail. Enjoy the Florida weather. Thanks for the time. I really appreciate it.
Anytime, Mike. Great to hear you on the air, buddy. Miss you, pal.
You too, Keith. See ya.
Yep, see you guys.
There he is, Keith Jones here joining us on Gloves Off Hockey with Mike Milbury on WMEX. We will be right back after a quick word from our sponsors. And once again, tonight's program being brought to you by Fuse CBD. Give them a check out online, fuse-health.com, and find out how you can sync self and health. We'll be right back on Gloves Off Hockey.
When you need to feed a lot of people in a pinch, simply call Angelina's in Braintree, the home of the jumbo. Angelina's is famous for their hand-tossed Italian-style pizzas, fresh-cut salads, and their subs are, dare we say, jumbo. Did you know that Angelina's now offers Del's Lemonade? That's right. You can refresh yourself with a tasty treat and make sure the kids are happy, too. Feed your family with Angelina's today, and you'll receive $5 back with every $25 purchase. And to top it all off, Angelina's delivers, ensuring that you can enjoy their great food without leaving the comfort of your own home. Angelina's in Braintree, located at 419 Elm Street, just 1 mile from the Union Street exit. Call 781-843-7827 to place your order. That's 781-843-7827. You can also order online at angelinasjumbo.com. Angelina's in Braintree, the home of the jumbo.
That smile you wear when you listen to MeTV music tells the world how much you enjoy the timeless and memorable songs we play. But you can make it clear how you feel when you put on one of our cool new MeTV music t-shirts. Classic t-shirts from artists and events such as Elvis, Billy Joel, and Woodstock, and brand new designs from MeTV FM. Enjoy your timeless and memorable favorites 15% more by spending 15% less with our MeTV music sale. Go to MeTV.com and click on the store tab and use promo code MUSIC15.
back here live on Gloves Off Hockey with Mike Milbury on WMEX, 6:48 local time here in Boston. Here's your host, Mike Milbury.
Well, those are two pretty good call-ins, don't you think? I mean, Kevin DuPont knows his stuff. Keith Jones clearly knows his stuff. And great to have him on. And from time to time, we'll bring in guys like that to chat up the league and the Bruins and their impressions of what's going on. But you had something on your mind, Ben.
Yeah, we've got so much change in the league, Mike. You know, it used to be that an offseason would just render a handful of changes, maybe a couple of trades, you know, something simple. But for the last five or so years, it seems like every offseason, every team gets to do a borderline complete reset. And I really feel like we haven't had a good Montreal Bruins rivalry in years. Well, mostly probably because of COVID, but things were starting to go stale just prior anyway, because who are the nemesis? Who are the rivals? Who are those guys on that team now besides Gallagher to really that's got anything on any of the bees or vice versa?
Well,
and they've gotten a much bigger team put together this year. And on paper, I'm starting to look at it.
Well,
you
know, Keith Jones mentioned that the fighting has been reduced to almost negligible levels. So you're not going to see much of that, but you would like to see some feistiness back in particularly in this Bruins-Montreal rivalry, because it was, having been a part of it for so long, it was so intense. And, you know, my first 3 years in the league, we went to the finals, lost two games to the Canadiens, lost to them the next year in four games, and lost to them in the semifinals and overtime on the too many men on the ice game.
I think
out of my 12 postseasons, we lost to the Canadiens seven times.
The only time
I beat him was, yeah, I know, me too. The one that hurts was too many men on the ice, but did get to beat him as a coach. That was satisfying. But you mentioned Gallagher. He's a guy that can really stir the pot. Monahan, you know, they pick up Sean Monahan. He's a guy that could stir it up. Josh Anderson is a big kid, plays pretty hard. I don't know if they have the stuff to get it going again. I mean, I don't know. David Savard's on the roster now on the back end. He's, you know, from Columbus. He used to bang a lot of bodies, and we'll see if he can pick that up. But I think all in all, it would be great for the league if the Canadiens could come back, not just for a Boston-Montreal rivalry, but for – you know, all of Canada focuses on their hockey teams, but particularly on the Canadiens and the Maple Leafs, and not having them be as competitive, as nasty as they once were, and skillful as they once were.
Right.
Kent Hughes has his hands full. The general manager was an agent and took on this job, hired Martin St. Louis, a guy that has never coached in the league before. I mean, that's got to be an interesting challenge. For both of them, neither one knew the nuances of the job, but now they find themselves in one of the ultimate hot spots in hockey in Montreal. Mm. And, you know, they start off with a win last night against the Maple Leafs, which is great. Good reason for optimism. We saw Carey Price in the stands. It looks like his days are over, although that's not official. And that leads me to their goaltending.
You got to have
Jake Allen. I don't know if he can get the job done. So if you don't have a solid goaltender, if he can get it done, then you know, maybe they can hang around to late in the season. I don't think they're a playoff team. I think they're going to be more likely to be a lottery team.
Yeah.
And that's my take on them.
I kind of agree with you. There's a lot of feel-good stories. I mean, Arber Shekai coming into the league, working Costco a year and a half ago at this time, and now starting his first game last night in the show, man. There's no better game to play there. So feel-good stories like that. And, of course, they've named the new captain, Suzuki, wearing the C now. Gallagher's got the A, and they don't have a second assistant listed at least. But you got some names on there. Mike Hoffman made the team this year, so, you know, the fan base grows with that addition to the list. And there's some other guys on there, too. This kid, man, Slavkovsky, he's going to be a big kid for many years to come.
Yeah, I mean, he's a top pick, obviously, and it was a little bit of a controversial draft pick taking him first overall, but, you know, he's got the tools, he's got the size, and you know, way too early to make a decision on
how. Did you see him in the combine, though?
I didn't see him in the combine.
He broke the bike.
Yikes.
I don't even really know how that happens, but no one's ever done that before. And that was something like, whoa, that's when I took notice of this kid first. No one breaks the bike.
Yeah. I want to get back to something that Keith Jones stated. He really gave the Bruins a chance to be a solid, competitive, maybe cup finalist type team. I was a little bit surprised by that. Were you?
Especially from a Philly guy, for the most part. You know, I mean, well, that's impressive nonetheless. But
he's one of the smartest hockey guys I know. I mean, he was an interesting player because he had skill, but he was very yappy. You know, he was
that
just
guy, yappy.
Yeah, he was. He just couldn't keep his mouth shut. But it was fun to watch him play, and it's fun to watch him analyze a game because he analyzed it from all different angles as a broadcaster, as a former player, and he gives you a good take. But for him to say, a guy that's so close to the game, studies it so religiously, you have to take a pause. I don't have them there as a Stanley Cup finalist, or maybe even a conference finalist. But if you put it together, Marchand comes back, McAvoy comes back, Grizzlick comes back, the goalie plays like he played last night, Swayman gets his game together, well, you know, then the wheels start to turn a little bit. But it's an optimistic outlook, particularly when I see a team like the Rangers, who are so fast, loaded in goal, solid on the blue line, you know, multiple weapons up front, not only veteran weapons, but, you know, younger guys like Kako and, you know, Lafreniere. That's a team that seems to be, you know, when it goes to the conference final, you learn a lesson as a team like that. They learned a lesson last year against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, as we talked about, a little weaker now, a little bit banged up and a little bit less in the talent-wise because of their success is their own worst enemy.
Three cup finals in 3 years will do that to you.
Yeah, and they have to dump off Ryan McDonough's contract and Palat flees for bigger money in New Jersey, although he does have to live in New Jersey. But, I mean, that's what happens to you, just sort of kick the tires a little bit, weaken them a little bit, and all of a sudden, you know, you're going to be fighting uphill. And by the way, the fact of the matter is, going to three finals like that takes the starch out of you.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have much of an off season to recover. It's a long grind when you go that far in the playoffs, and it takes you a couple months to take a breath.
It really does. It really does. Mike, let's review some of the games last night, lightning round style. Just tell me, were you surprised by the score, yes or no? We'll spin through all of last night's real quick. So obviously, Bruins Caps 5-2 win for the Bees. Surprised, yes or no?
No, I know an older team, Washington, a little banged up without Backstrom and Wilson. I wasn't surprised, but I was pleased with the result.
There it is. Of course, Maple Leafs falling to the Canadiens 4-3.
Listen, Montreal jazzed up at home. It's one of the great places to watch a hockey game. If you ever get a chance to go to Montreal and watch it, they do a tremendous job of entertaining the crowd, even when the game's not any good. But jazzed up to go on opening night, and they got it done. Good for them. Let's see if there's any sustainability there. But the Leafs, as usual, I don't know what they're doing with the goal. Matt Murray's in goal. He's been trying to find his way back to... The Maple Leafs have been trying to find a goaltender. Matt Murray was their choice, and Samsonov they picked up from Washington. If they don't figure out that these guys can get the job done, they're not going to get out of their way in the playoffs yet again. So that's my take on them.
I like that. Hurricanes played host and spoiler to the Blue Jackets 4-1. Surprised, yes or no?
No, not surprised. I mean, Carolina is an elite-level team now, and Keith had it right. They have to find a way, much like the Leafs, to break through, for Rod Brindamore to make adjustments in the playoffs to find their way to the promised land.
Absolutely. Of course, out in the Western Conference, we saw the Anaheim Ducks open up their season against the Seattle Kraken with a 5-4 OT win.
Yeah, they were lucky to win it, I guess, or give them credit for coming from behind. And
they had Trevor Zegras. What can you do?
Yeah, that's right. And so the Kraken, you know, another day of futility in their history, but a tough way to start the season.
Of course, we've been talking about it. The reigning Stanley Cup champions, the Colorado Avalanche, 5-2 over the Blackhawks.
Well, they played the JV team. You know, that's pretty much it. They looked great there. It was actually a great ceremony. I'm not much for the banner-raising ceremonies, but it was a pretty neat way to do it, I thought. And good for them. We'll see if they can do it again. Most people are betting on it.
Absolutely. Last game from last night's schedule. The Oilers spoil the Canucks in their home opener, 5-3. Connor McDavid with his 700th career point.
Man, he is something else. And they were down a bunch, right?
Yeah, they were down early. Oilers fell, I believe it was 2 or 3 down.
They were 3 down. And then they just kept coming and coming and coming. And he's so slick. and he does everything at top speed. That's what's crazy. I mean, he can stick handle at top speed. He can make moves laterally at top speed. His edge work is just like, I mean, talk about edge work, that sounds boring, but it's key to what you do when you're skating. And this guy, he's a marvel to watch, not to mention that he's playing with Leon Draisaitl, who was right there with him in terms of productivity. I wonder, they're talking about this being the time that they break through. You know, they lost to Colorado last year. They're hoping that they break through. I wonder, too, about their goaltending. They got Jack Campbell from Toronto. Not a household name, not a guy that has a lot of history as a number one goaltender. They're putting their money on him. I think it's a little bit of a mistake. Then having said that, Darcy Kuemper, who won a Stanley Cup with Colorado, he's no
slouch.
He's no Gump Worsley. He's no Rogie Vachon. He's no Jerry Cheevers. He's not that good. But so you can win without an elite level goaltender, but he has to at least be solid. And that's the question mark for Edmonton.
Oh, I love it. And of course, they had that huge breakout season last year, but this is going to be the one. I'm with you on that. Couple of games on the docket tonight across the league. We'll just spin through them real quick for you because we're coming up on our final minute here. Coyotes visiting the Penguins. Senators out in Buffalo. Devils and Flyers, 7 o'clock. Panthers and the Islanders. Mike, I know you're keeping an eye on that one.
No, I'm not.
Caps and Maple Leafs, Rangers and Wild, Stars and Preds, Avalanche and the Flames at it again tonight at 9:30. The Hawks and the Golden Knights and the Kraken and the Kings. That's your 10:30 start tonight.
Well, let's leave this on a happy note. It was a great start for the Bruins. Opened with a win on the road. Put a lot of things together. Jim Montgomery said he liked the way the team hung together, which seems to be the common refrain from management to coaching. That there's a new attitude in town. We'll see. The first win is great to get under your belt. Love the way the check line once again showed some ways to find each other all over the ice. Bergeron, of course, does what he always does, and Hall, again, was a contributor. I like the fourth-line guys, Lauko and Nosek. Those guys contributed well. Hampus Lindholm, so happy. An A-minus on game one. That's a pretty good grade for me. I'm not that easy.
No, not at all. And that is the way it is tonight, folks. Thank you so much, Mike. We'll see you again on Tuesday coming up, and we'll do it all over again, getting ready for a great weekend. Mike, you be well. To our listeners here on WMEX, you've been listening to Gloves Off Hockey with Mike Millbury live here on WMEX and streaming online at WMEXBoston.com. Stay tuned, Veterans Voice, right after this.